Introduction and thank you all for being here. I'm going to discuss the whole presentation in different parts: introduction about estradiol enzyme, objective, experimental setup, results, and summary. Let's start with 17-beta-estradiol, commonly referred as E2, and I will be referring as E2 throughout the experiment, making it simple. It's a primary female sex hormone, but it is also found in male and plays an important role there. It's very important in playing overall growth development and sexual metabolism cycles in females. It has very high biological activity, by which I mean to say, even if it is present at very low concentration, it is capable of causing undesirable changes in the organisms, generally by disrupting the endocrine system. Here is the structure of E2. One thing which I would like to draw your attention is the presence of this phenolic group in structure of E2, which I'm going to discuss in my later slides. The two important ways by which the hormones, including E2, get into the environment are discharge from wastewater treatment plants and land application. All over the world, application of municipal biosolids, animal waste, and poultry manure is very common practice to apply on agricultural field to enhance the amount of nutrients. But besides increasing the nutrient condition, we are also keep adding increased amount of hormone concentration in the soil. And after getting into the soil, this hormone can finally get reached to the groundwater and other natural water bodies by leaching, runoff, or maybe sometimes the combination of both processes. So the one question that may pop up at this point is that, is there anything which can be done at the soil level to prevent the movement of E2 out of the soil to the water bodies? Actually, there are some studies done in the water systems that have shown that E2 can be incorporated or can take part in addition type reactions with the organic matter present in the water in presence of enzymes. And the interesting part is the enzymes that they have used in the studies are found naturally in soil. So at this point, we started to think and motivated that, like, is it possible to have similar reactions to happen in soil also, where the enzymes are naturally present? And since we are talking about the reactions taking place in presence of enzymes, the two enzymes that I used for my study are horseradish peroxidase, HRP, and lactase. HRP needs hydrogen peroxide to initiate the reaction, whereas lactase needs oxygen to initiate the reaction. Besides, both these enzymes, HRP and lactase, they can act on a molecule or a substrate that have a presence of phenolic group, and I just mentioned that E2 contains a phenolic group. So ideally, these two enzymes should act on the E2. So our first objective is to show that E2 can be effectively transformed in soil by the means of enzymatic humification process. In simple words, I want to say, we have E2 present in soil. Then in the presence of lactase and HRP, it can oxidize to oxidized E2. And this oxidized form of E2 can further actively participate in the non-enzymatic humification reaction and can form bound residue. And the formation of this bound residue will prevent the movement of E2, the free movement out of the soil to the water. Our second objective is to determine the effect of soil properties, like changing the amount of organic matter, on the E2 transformation. The soils that we used for the study was collected from Griffin. Soil samples were prepared in lab, and soils were spiked with E2 and then incubated with enzyme solutions. Further, the samples were extracted with organic solvent, cleaned, and then analyzed for E2 concentration in HPLC. In this slide, I'm going to show like how we have carried out the whole experiment. The first system is with soil. We added the E2 to the soil, and then we carried out two different experiments, one with lactase, another with HRP. Further, the study with lactase was divided into single addition study and a multiple addition study. In the single addition study, there was just one-time application of enzyme solution, whereas the multiple addition study, there were repeated several applications of enzyme solutions. Same with the horseradish peroxidase. Further, the single addition study of lactase was carried out for three different activity levels of lactase and for two different activity levels of horseradish peroxidase. In another system, we added additional organic matter in the form of peat, and then E2 was added to that system, soil plus peat. This was again subdivided into two parts, one study with lactase, another with horseradish peroxidase. But here, We did just single addition study for both of them and with just one activity level of enzyme. In one another study where we did the study with C14 level E2, the enzyme that we used was lactase single addition study and with one enzyme activity, 10 units per gram of sol. Next, the results. First, I'm going to discuss action of lactase on E2 and then action of horse radish peroxidase on E2. This is the first graph. On y-axis, we have E2 recovery in percentage, and on the x-axis, we have time in hours. This time is showing the incubation time of the soil with the enzyme solution. And the 100% recovery is like representing the amount that we initially added to the soil. In the first graph, I'm comparing the single addition of the lactase and multiple addition of lactase. In the single addition, the whole enzyme activity, the whole 10 units of lactase was added at the start of the reaction, and then further the change in the E2 concentration was observed at different sampling points. Where is the multiple addition, where you can see the amount that we used is same, 10 units, as that of single addition, but here we divided the 10 units into equal small fractions, and then each fraction was applied at every 24 hours till the end of the reaction. As we can see for both of the graphs, with increasing time, the amount of E2 recovered is becoming less, indicating that maybe the E2 that we are applying to the soil in the presence of enzyme is taking part in the humification reaction, but we will see some more in the later slides. The other interesting thing that came out was, since the enzyme activity is same 10 units and 10 units, but the way of application was different, and there's a significant difference in these two graphs. I don't know the exact reason behind this, but we are looking into this, we are doing some studies, and hope we will explain that later. This graph is showing the study with C14 labeled E2. The enzyme used was lactase, and C14 CO2 was captured with help of sodium hydroxide. This is difference in C14 labeled E2 and non-labeled E2, and the difference can be attributed to the fact that in case of non-labeled E2, we use the HPLC for analysis of E2, so that is just showing the E2 that we observed in HPLC. Whereas in C14 labeled E2, we extracted the samples and then we took the readings on liquid scintillation counter, which can be E2 plus other extractable E2 products. But the important thing is there is still very large difference with the control and the C14 labeled E2, showing that the hormone or the E2 that we added to the soil is not mineralizing, escaping as CO2, and neither it is extractable. So it is strengthening the point a lot, like the E2 in presence of lactase is taking part in humification reaction. Since we saw that single addition seemed to be more effective over multiple addition, we carried the another single addition study, but this time with three different enzyme levels, 10 units, 5 units, and 2.5 units. Initially, it's obvious that more the enzyme activity, it seemed that reaction is more effective. But as we move further towards the end of the reaction at 264 hours, still there is difference, but it is not much large. So we can have similar results, similar efficiency, but even with smaller enzyme activity levels. This graph showing effect of peat, what will happen if we increase the amount of organic matter in the soil. And here we are doing that by adding additional peat. All the other conditions are same, and we can see like that all the sampling points except the first one, the difference is significant. And so that means if you increase the amount of organic matter, there is more formation of non-extractable bond residues. That can be due to the reason that increasing the amount of organic matter is providing more sites for the humification. Now, action of horseradish peroxidase HRP on E2, and since HRP needs hydrogen peroxide to initiate the reaction, for all the reactions we did with HRP, we maintained the molar ratio of E2 to H2O2 to 1:2. I have compared the single addition study and multiple addition study, and it's like same in lactase, the single addition of HRP seemed to be more effective over the multiple addition study, and we need to look into that some more research. When we compare two different activity levels of HRP, 2 units and 10 units, it was same like lactase. During the initial reaction hours, it seemed that if you add more enzyme activity, the reaction is very efficient and we form very large amount of non-extractable residues, but as we move forward, the difference is not much large. And this graph is showing the effect of peat when we use the enzyme horseradish peroxidase. And we can see, as in the case of lacase, with increasing amount of organic matter in the soil, there is more, there is very less E2 recovery, that is more formation of bound residues. And now, summing all the points from my data, lacase and HRP mediated humification of E2 was observed in soil. Addition of peat enhanced the formation of unextractable bound residues in experiments. And single application of both lacase and HRP seem to be more efficient over the multiple addition of enzymes. And so enzymes may be used as an effective tool to remediate hormones in soil. Thank you all. Yeah.
How would you find these enzymes produced naturally in the soil? Or are you suggesting that they are added?
That's a good question. She's asking, how did I find that these enzymes are produced naturally in soil, right? Okay, so lacase is produced by white rot fungi and many other organisms. White rot fungi is a very popular fungi that is found in soil. And the lacase that we are using in experiment is from this species Trematis versicolor. And whereas the horseradish peroxidase is, it is produced by the plant horseradish and soybean. So it's very common to find these enzymes in soil. And according to literature also, these are very common in nature and also abundant.
Thank you.